Good morning, church. This morning we have a few prayer requests and things on announcements. Membership class will be starting February the 6th following the church service, so sign up is in the narthex. To receive any text alerts or phone messages or anything like that on for prayer requests, you need to sign up in the narthex, if you would, please, so we get a list of those people. The new study, we believe, the books that we're working on, don't forget to pick up your book. If you don't have one, they're laying out in the narthex. Pick one up and enjoy. Read it and understand a little bit more who we are in this church and what we believe. Next weekend, we have the chili cook-off. So it's the last Sunday is today to sign up for the chili cook-off if you want to make a chili and bring it. So please do so, and that sign-up is out also in the narthex. The 2022 offering envelopes are on the narthex table. They ask if you could use the same numbers what you did last year. The prayer list is on the table in the narthex. And also this week, we want to remember today, this weekend, was the March for Life. It was the prayer for babies. So we don't need to wait for just a special weekend. We can do that every day of the week, just to pray for these young ones that these people are marching for. So let's bow our head as the group gets up here to sing this morning. We'll have prayer. Father, this morning as we come to you, we pray that the message that Tim brings us is something to touch the hearts and the mind of the one that really needs to hear it this week. I pray that you watch us, bless our church, bless our leaders of this nation, be with our soldiers that protect us and keep us safe. Watch over us this day. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
I am who you say I am. and it won't let me unmute it. So, hey, there we go. We'll give this a shot. Real quick. Yeah. This is fun. Sorry, guys. Good morning, church, by the way. You know, if it isn't one thing, it's another sometimes. And this morning, apparently, it's the other. I hope everyone's doing well this morning. And as we're waiting on these, I know last week we started off with launching our new series called We Believe. We looked at who God was and kind of a big overview with a ton of information. But this morning, I really want to focus in on God the Father and who He is and what the Bible tells us about Him. So before we get into today's message, let's take a minute and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning and we thank You. Father, we thank You for being You. We thank You for being a good, good Father. One that we can trust and we can look to. Father, I ask that this morning our hearts be open to what You have for us. Father, I ask that You give us wisdom and guidance throughout all of this. Father, I ask that the hardest of hearts be softened. And Father, I pray that it's Your words that are spoken this morning and not my own. And Father, if I say anything not of You, let it fall on deaf ears. When I started thinking about this week's message and I started working through it, I got a lot done. And a lot of things I learned. And then yesterday morning, I got news that a friend of mine from back in high school all the way through that I've stayed in touch with passed away. And it made me rethink and bring more into focus this idea of a good, good father. I know for many of us, sometimes it can be hard to imagine a good father. Some of you have been blessed in your life, and you were raised with a good father as an example at home. For some of you, weren't as blessed as that. And so when you hear the words, good, good father, it can be complicated. And you have a hard time imagining what that looks like. You know, last week we talked about the Trinity and the Godhead. We spoke about God alone is God. And that there is but one God. Double A's. And how God alone is God. This works. That was perfect timing, by the way. Whoa, there we go. I'm hot. Bring this down just a little bit. Good morning. All right. Whew, good timing. Good segue there. But we talked about how God has revealed Himself in three distinct forms: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yet all three are God Himself. But as we focus in on God the Father, we're going to see this morning His role that He plays in this world in creation and the love that He has for each one of us. We believe that the Father was the one who conceived all of creation. It was the Father who put the world into motion. And it's through the Father that we find our purpose in life. It's through the Father that we have guidance. It's through the Father that we receive our wisdom and that we find what we are called to do. In Psalm 68, 5 through 6, it says, God in His holy dwelling is a father of the fatherless and a champion of widows. Verse 6, it says, God provided homes for those who are deserted. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in scorched land. The idea being that we don't have to face this world alone. God being a good father will lead us. But that also comes with the fact that we have to put our trust in Him to get there. See, when you feel alone, the Father is there. When you feel lost, the Father is there. When you're scared or you're heartbroken, the Father is there. He's the one who's there with us when we're in the deepest pits of despair. No matter where in life you find yourself, we can know that the Father is right there with us. Just as the Father is the one that conceived creation, the Father is also the one who determines the time and place and the outcome of the end times. So often people like to speculate on when the end will come. People like to say we have to be close to the end. Back in 2012, there was actually a man who got his followers to sell everything they had because Jesus was coming back. He had an exact date and everything planned out. And as you can imagine, the date came and went, and Jesus didn't come back. Now, for those of us who've read the Bible, this was absolutely no shocker to us. In Matthew 24:36, it tells us, "Now concerning the day and the hour, no one knows, neither the angels or the heaven, nor the Son, except the Father alone." So with all that being said, if someone comes to you and says, "I know that Jesus is coming back, the Father is sending him back on this day," you know them to be wrong, because even Jesus himself doesn't know, and he is one with the Father on when he's being sent back. But what we need to do is we need to seek the Father daily and make sure that we're ready for when that time comes, that we're ready for his return. We believe the Father's the first among the Godhead. We clearly can see that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are united throughout the Bible. We know there is not one greater than the other, and together they make up God alone. Yet when we look at different passages within the Bible, the Father is often referenced first. And we see Jesus and the Holy Spirit both submitting to the will of the Father. If we look at your We Believe booklet that you guys have, it points out that Jesus himself in Matthew 26, that when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he was arrested, sat there and he prayed. Going a little further, he fell face down and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." See, Jesus was submitting to the Father. He was setting an example for each one of us to show us that we are to submit to the Father as well. And that word submission is something that a lot of times we don't like because it means giving up our own desires and our own wants. Jesus again refers to the fact that he submits to the will of the Father in John 5:19. It says, "Truly I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does these things." And if we read John 14:26, we see the Holy Spirit submits to the Father as well. "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you." You see, right there we have the Father who is sending the Holy Spirit down for each one of us. He sends the Holy Spirit to tug on our heartstrings, to point us back to the Father, and to call us to him. On page 17, there's a question listed in your little booklet in there, and it states, "If God is three in one, why would we have the statement, 'We believe the Father is the first among the equals of the Godhead'?" Well, I feel it's a great question. And simply because, I mean, as we've read earlier, we see Jesus' example being given, that he's referring to the Father and showing his submission. John 10:29-30, it says, "My Father has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Here we have Jesus talking about Father being the greatest of all, placing the Father first, but yet in verse 30, we see Jesus saying, they're together. They're one. And I believe this is done as an example to us again, as a reminder of our Heavenly Father above, as a reminder of what direction the Father has for our lives and that we need to seek Him for that direction. We have to remember that the Father is also the ultimate giver of all that is good and perfect. James 1:17 says, "For good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Thank God our God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In Matthew 7:7-11, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks and the door will be open. Who among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Jesus reminds us that the Father gives out the gifts in our lives, reminding us that the Father also gives us good gifts, not just any gifts. We are to give thanks to the Father for the good gifts that He's given us. In Ephesians 5:20, it tells us, "Give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Give thanks for everything. You may be wondering, what kind of gifts does our Father give us? A lot of times in this world, we look at the Father as, look to the Father for our own desires and our own wants. We look for Him and we ask for things. You know, I've often spoken about the genie in the bottle concept of God. This concept where we just ask God for whatever we want and expect Him to hand it over. I have a question for all the parents out there with children and young children. And even you, think back on when your parents were younger. If your kid comes to you and asks for a candy bar before a meal or a cookie before a meal, are you going to give it to him? How about Mountain Dew just before bedtime? Are you going to give him that Mountain Dew? Are you going to let your four-year-old walk across town now because, you know, they're a big kid now, you know? How about the kid that wants to watch scary movies, but you know that they're not ready mentally in their mind to handle what they might see? How often do they cry and beg for an item, yet you know it's not good for them? They may even say things such as, "Well, all my friends are doing it," or "All my friends have one." And my parents would respond with, "Well, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you do it too?" Maybe. In seriousness, how many of you guys have watched the movie Christmas Story? You see, we have a young man by the name of Ralphie in this movie, right? And what does Ralphie want more than anything in this world? He wants that Red Ryder BB gun. He wants it so bad. I mean, the BB gun is going to bring him so much joy. He can't imagine life without anything except for that BB gun. He tries to convince his parents, his teacher, and even Santa that that's all he needs. Nothing else is required for Christmas. This is going to make him the happiest of everything he had. And of course, they all tell him, "Kids, you're going to shoot your eye out." And when Christmas comes around, what happens? His parents, okay, maybe I should rephrase this, his dad, with objections from the mother, I will give credit there on that, got him the BB gun. And of course, if we watch the movie, you know, he almost shoots his eye out, breaks his glasses, and everything else in the process. We laugh at this because we understand it's a movie plot and it was a cute movie and brings back nostalgia thoughts. But see, they all had the right answer beforehand. They knew what was going to be dangerous for the kid. We don't give our kids Mountain Dew or candy before bed because we know it's not going to be good for them. we know they're going to be bouncing off the walls and aren't going to get a proper night's sleep. Or they may rot their teeth. But just as any good parent, our Father in heaven at times tells us no, because he knows what's best for us. He knows what the future holds. He knows the outcome. Yet, so often we pursue what we want anyways. And we don't give up when he said no. And when we do that, we fall flat on our face. Don't get me wrong. As any good father, he delights in giving us good things. He delights in giving us our heart's desires. You know, when you give that child that gift, or you give your friend that gift, that thing that they've been wanting, and you surprise them with it, and you see that look in their eye of excitement, who doesn't get excited for that? That's the same as the Father. When he's able to give us what we want in our heart's desires, he's excited for the same thing. It tells us in Psalms 37:4, take delight in the Lord, and he will give your heart's desires. What is your heart's desire? What are you asking the Father for? Warren Wiersbe states, the word translated delight comes from a root that means to be brought up in luxury, to be pampered. It speaks of the abundance of the blessings we have in the Lord himself, totally apart from what he gives us. To enjoy the blessings and ignore the blesser is to practice idolatry. In Jesus Christ, we have all of God's treasures, and we need no more. If we truly delight in the Lord, then the chief desires of our heart will be to know him better, so that we can delight in him even more. And the Lord will satisfy that desire. This is not a promise for people who want things, but for those who want more of God in their lives. You see, if we pursue the Father's heart, our lives transform. If we pursue the Father's heart, our desires become his desires. I often think of King Solomon when I think of this. King Solomon, as he took over for his father David, he pursued God in his heart, just like his father did. And God told Solomon, I'll give you whatever your heart's desire is. Solomon says, Lord my God, you have now made your servant king of my father's David's place. Yet I'm just a youth with no experience in leadership. Your servant is among your people you have chosen, a people too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant a recipient's heart to judge your people and to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? And because of this, we see God blessing him. Because he didn't ask for himself, he asked for the right reasons. See, his heart was aligned with the Father. And he wanted more of God. He wanted the goodness of God. It wasn't about him or his personal gain or personal items. It was about glorifying God with where God had placed him in life. First Kings, we have his response. And now please the Lord that Solomon had requested this. So God said to him, because you have requested this and did not ask for a long life or riches for yourself or death of your enemies, but you asked for discernment for yourself to administer justice, I will therefore do what you have asked. I will make you wise and understanding heart so that there has never been anyone like you before and never will be again. The Father blessed Solomon through this. Because Solomon first sought God and what glorified the Father. And he was blessed beyond measure because of it. So often we pursue our own wants and desires and we cry out to God because it didn't work out the way we wanted. We face so many hardships and heartaches in our lives because our hearts aren't lined up with God. Did you first seek the Father? Did you first seek His heart? Did you first ask God what He had in store for you? Did you follow the playbook that God has laid out for your life? We have football teams after football teams. If each player just went out what they wanted to do at that particular moment, would the team be successful? Or they ask the coach what direction they want to go and what they're supposed to do. Why aren't we looking for the Father for the same thing? What direction do you have for my life? May your will become my will. Now, God doesn't always answer our prayers, at least not the way we want Him to. How many of you guys have ever heard of the song, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayers"? I want you to think back on your life. I want you to think back on a time that you begged God for something. Maybe you prayed that it would come back into your life. You prayed for that job. You prayed for that promotion, that house, that car, that relationship. And you just could not understand at that moment why God didn't answer your prayers. For some of you, it may have even rocked your faith a little bit. But if we look back on those moments and those requests and how God worked it out for good later on down the road, we don't know how many of those unanswered prayers have actually helped us to avoid situations that would have ended way worse. That relationship that you just had to have back in high school, that you begged God for, only to find out that God had someone so much better in store for you in the future. That job that you just thought you had to have would have taken so much time away from your family. When he pressed against God and went against his will, how much heartache did that cause you? When he said, "I'm going to do it anyways." We think of that kid reaching for the hot iron and his parents stop him before it allows it to hit his hands. No matter how much the kid cries or throws a fit and keeps reaching for it, will a good parent not block him from that hot iron so he doesn't have to deal with that damage? That's what God does for us. He knows what's good for us. See, when the Father says no to your prayers at times, it's not because he's mean. It doesn't mean he doesn't hear you. It's because we can't see what he's got coming down the road. We can't see what God has got planned for our future. He's the one who put the world into motion. He's the one who made you and everything around us. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the heart of the people around you as well. But we know that God is a giver of good gifts. And he gave us the best gift of all. You see, it's the Father that initiates our relationship with his Son, Jesus. You see, it's the Father that sends his Holy Spirit to tug on your hearts. It's the Father that sends the Holy Spirit to speak to us in that still small voice, calling us back to him. It was the Father who sent his Son to the cross for you and I. He's the one who forgives us. He's the one who shows us mercy. Jesus made the way for it, but the Father's the one who does it. I felt it best to close with one particular passage, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." You see, the Father loves all of his creation. He's put everything into motion in the world. He's the one who made you in his image. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And he's the one crying out for you to return to him. See, God has a plan for you here today. He has a plan for each person inside sitting here. Everyone listening online, everyone listening on the radio, it doesn't matter. God has a plan for everyone. But here's the thing, he's not going to force himself on you. Not on any of us. He gave us free will. He gave us the choice. We can either choose to accept him and his guidance and his loving hand, or we can reject him. We can walk away from him. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you've been walking away from God in the last, I don't care how many years, he's standing here this morning with arms wide open. He doesn't care what your past was. He doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care what kind of lifestyle and mistakes you've made. None of those mistakes are greater than our God. None of those mistakes are ever something that can go another way. And we thank God for that. We thank for a loving Father in heaven who reached down for us. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for putting this world into motion and creating each one of us. Father, we know you're a good, good Father and want nothing but what is best for each of us. Father, we know you have sent your Holy Spirit to tug at each of our heartstrings, calling each of us back to you. If you're here this morning and you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heartstrings, if you've been trying to walk this world alone, never feeling like you know what the right direction is to turn, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to turn back to the Father and to not go another day without him in your life. With all of our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're ready for that free gift and redirect your life back to the Savior and back to the Father, let today be that day. I want to encourage you to take a step and raise your hand if that is you this morning. I want you to walk it out in boldness with him. If you feel that Holy Spirit move, don't wait another day. And if you're ready to make that step, I want to encourage you to come on up and let us pray with you. I want to encourage you to do that. We're available for prayer with you right now. The Bible tells us that all we have to do is confess with our mouths that we are sinners and accept that free gift of salvation through our Son, Jesus. That Jesus has made a way for you to return to the Father today. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. fitting last song, because God alone deserves our highest praise. I want to encourage you guys as you go out this week to seek the Father's heart. Ask Him what He has for each one of you and what His will is for your life. May God bless you guys, keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Quick announcement, board, we have a meeting right after.